Compass FM with welcome back into Compass FM, Greta Bond, CEO from Age Concern. Morena, how are you, Greta?
Very well, thank you.
Hey, nice to have you back into the studio from Age Concern Canterbury. Hey, so today we're talking about a reasonably big topic, enduring powers of attorney. So the first question I have for you is, what is an enduring power of attorney? It sounds pretty official, pretty, you know,
Well, it is quite official, but also quite important. I think something that we don't really talk about enough. Now, an enduring power of attorney, I'll probably call it EPOA for the purposes of this. It's a legal document which sets out who can take care of your personal or financial matters if you lose the ability to do so. For example, if you have a progressive illness like dementia, or if you've had an accident that's caused a serious traumatic brain injury. You nominate in advance of that who you, if that would happen, who you would want to make the decisions for you about your health and well-being and for your finances if you no longer can. So it's like a will insofar as you make it, and it comes into effect if you lose your ability to make decisions for yourself rather than when you die, like a will does. There's two kinds. There's an EPOA for personal care and welfare. You nominate one person who will make these decisions for you if you can't. In my line of work, we see quite a few people where people have advanced Alzheimer's or another form of dementia, but also sometimes when there's younger people who have had an accident or struggling with mental illness, those are sometimes activated.
Gotcha.
The other form of EPOA is in relation to property, for example, arranging benefits and paying your bills, buying and selling assets. You can have two or more of these if you wish.
So that's like looking at, we did this with my dad before he passed away last year. So I, being the baby of the family, you can only have three. So that was my mum, my sister and my other sister. And so one said, well, I'll do the health side of it. And the other one said, well, I'm good at finances, so I'll do the finance side of it. And I went, I'm all good with everything.
And it's really important. I think the main thing is in your example, it's to have people who you really trust and who know you well. Because basically it's people who will be speaking for your wants and desires if you are no longer able to do so.
And your own well-being, right?
And you know, it doesn't mean also that you're completely out of the picture, because you may have, you know, some opinions, and even, you know, you may still be there, but just not really be able to deal with those things. And so that person should then talk to you about what you want as well, and to help you to achieve that insofar as it's possible.
That was really good. Like with my dad, my sister looked after his health, and she would go in and have a chat to him, you know, when he was having a good day, because he had dementia. And so just going through some of the things when he was having a good day, and so he could still be part of some of the decision making without obviously feeling overwhelmed or not sure what to do. So I think they're actually quite vital, really.
I think they're almost more important than a will in terms of how they can impact you yourself.
I
think, and also how they impact on your family, who you care for and you don't want to be stressed out in a time which is hard as well.
And as you're saying, it's not just the immediate, it's also further afield, so it's the immediate family as well too, so that everyone else in the family knows that, you know, you're being looked after the best way possible, you know, your well-being while you're still here.
Exactly so. And it's also, you know, people won't necessarily agree always why that is.
Sure.
But what they will know is that you have discussed your needs and desires with the person who is your EPOA, and you have trusted them to make the decisions for you when you can't.
Yeah. And if you can get this done before, you know, if you can, before the deterioration sort of sets in as well.
It really needs to be done while you're still able. It can't really be done halfway through.
Yeah, that's the one. Hey, I'm talking to Greta Bond from Age Concern Canterbury. Greta, tough question. What can happen if you don't have an EPOA in place?
Well, we see a lot of cases where people have lost capacity and, for example, end up in hospital. Now, sometimes they've been cared for really well by a spouse, but then the spouse themselves becomes ill. And that's a situation for older couples, which is often, you know, quite a regular thing that we see. Now, those people in hospital can't be discharged home because it's not safe. And the ideal thing for them would be to be discharged to a rest home. But because they're unable to make that decision for themselves, and it's hard to release their funds because there's no one designated to do that, they can be stuck in hospital for weeks or even for months. Being in hospital is the worst thing for an older person, particularly when you don't need to be there. Yeah. It's not good for the hospital either, because they need that bed for someone who's sick, not just because someone doesn't have their affairs in order.
Mm.
If you don't have capacity and you don't have an EPOA, your family or spouse or partner may have to go to court in order to be able to act on your behalf.
Oh, wow.
And that can be stressful and as expensive as it sounds at the worst possible time and cause delays to you getting the care that you need.
Wow, that is really yeah. tough, especially if someone, as you're saying, is in hospital and then maybe the person who was caring for you being slightly older, and maybe now they're struggling and they can't look after you when you come home, and trying to that whole minefield, as you're saying, and it's hard to engage when you're in that stressful situation.
I think we, as a society, we're really bad about talking about death, and we're even worse about talking about how we want to be looked after should we be unable to care for ourselves.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily a comfortable thing to think about, but I think how much better you feel about it is if your affairs are in order.
Mm. Peace of mind for everyone, essentially, really, isn't it?
And if nothing happens, you won't need it.
Perfect. Hmm. So, Greta, are there any downsides to having an EPOA?
I really think that there's no downsides whatsoever. The process for getting deemed to lack mental capacity is really strict. It's not like in Victorian novels where you get two doctors in and they go, oh, clearly that lady is not capable, and so we'll take all of her money.
Yes.
The decision has to be made by an authorised health practitioner, for example, a GP or a psychiatrist of old age, and it's a really high bar. We see quite a lot of cases where a family disapproves of how an older person is living or spending their money, and they think maybe it's because they're losing capacity. But, if it turns out they just want to be spending their money on buying a sports car or having a young partner or getting a tattoo or taking a holiday in Vegas, and that's fine.
Yes.
So while you have capacity, you can spend your money as badly as you wish.
Yeah.
However, when it becomes activated because you've lost capacity, the whole idea is that the person who's looking after your financial and health decisions is actually complying with your known desires.
Yeah.
So whether that is
arranging a trip away for a couple of days with a carer or with someone.
Absolutely. Yeah.
They can still enjoy life.
And if you regain your capacity, so for example, if you have a delirium or a brain injury and you get better, the EPOA is turned off.
Oh, wow.
And so you can resume looking after yourself.
So that would be when, say, the GP or someone would step in who's a professional and can go, Actually, they're okay now. That was a short-term brain injury that they recovered from.
Exactly. And if you don't get better, the EPOA can stay in place until you die. And when you die, the EPOA stops and your will starts working.
Yeah, perfect. Hey, Greta, a fascinating conversation. Thank you so much for coming in. What should we do if we'd like to know more information about EPO? Can we come to Aged Concern Canterbury?
Absolutely, you can do that. There's an information session being run by Duncan Cotterill, the lawyers, in the evening of Wednesday, the 4th of October. If you go to our website, you can have a wee look and see the details. That will be some lawyers, judges, someone from Public Trust, and myself talking. But as always, if you've got questions about this or anything else, please do give us a call at Aged Concern Canterbury, 366 0903, or 0800 803 344.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for your time. As always, Greta Bond from Aged Concern Canterbury. And we'll catch you back next month.
Thank you so much.
Compass FM.